Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I wonder what Tim Swartz had to eat to sound like that. Christina, I'm going to bring up a subject here about the fact that years ago, especially 40s, 50s, I guess partly 60s, the star of your favorite show would be there to push the product. The sponsors would directly sponsor a TV show to bring it in their image. Like, for example, when Kellogg's acquired sponsorship rights for Adventures of Superman, they kind of dumbed it down and made it more amenable to children. They had influence on the product. Today, you don't see that.
You don't see it as much because of the evolution and awareness of what advertising and communications can do to people, how much influence and how it can warp people. So now there are rules through the Federal Trade Commission, as well as some of the broadcast service commissions in the United States, that have rules for advertisers on what they can say and what they can't say, as well as product placements. So when it comes to product placements in television shows and movies, that's actually a lucrative thing. You'll actually see products, but then those companies have paid a large amount to get those products on the screen and in the hands of whatever character you're seeing. And fewer companies are wanting or willing to pay that much money.
Tim?
You were talking earlier about Carob. I remember in the 70s there was a health food store not too far from where I live that sold Carob, and I have no idea how people could eat that stuff.
it doesn't taste good, but that also goes to like taste in general. If you grew up with something, many times you do develop a taste for it, where you can go somewhere else. I'm in Wisconsin, and I think of those Minnesotans who eat lutefisk, and instinctually. But there's people that love it. They grew up with it. They like the taste. It also bonds them as part of their community. And for all the reasons we're talking about of why people embrace a specific food, lutefisk is a really good example. Carob, on the other hand, that had more of kind of the health fad element to it, as well as a small religious component, because the alternate name for carob is often, the plant is referred to as St. John's bread. Because the story goes that John the Baptist, as wandering in the desert, found the plant and was able to live on that, and that's what kept him alive.
I remember my dad used to talk about during the Depression, they would drink postum.
Yes.
And that he said that he actually acquired a taste for it. And even though he said it didn't taste anything like coffee, but they would drink it like coffee. And, you know, it's one of those, it's like you said, it's one of these things is kind of, people didn't drink it for taste, they drank it out of necessity.
Well, in the case of postum was invented and marketed by the Seventh-day Adventist Church because, again, a no-stimulant people, they invented, it's a chicory, kind of a chicory blend, because they did not allow people to drink coffee. Coffee was a stimulant. You couldn't have coffee. But people love having coffee, so they came up with postum as an alternate to coffee. And that's where a lot of, in the American sense, in the modern sense, of these food brands, why we know about them, why they got started by these religious groups and these new religious movements and these cults, was to help the people who were following. Say if you're a new believer and you're supposed to give up coffee, just hard, cold, stop coffee, that could be an impediment to you joining the religion. But if they offered you a substitute that you could go in the grocery store and buy, that made it a little bit easier. The same thing for like their Morningstar and the fake meats we were talking about earlier. Anything that can make it easier for someone to join your religious practice is beneficial to that group. And that's why people published cookbooks and they produced these foods to help believers and help recruit new believers.
Spam. Well, let me do the spam thing. Okay, let's bring up spam. Now, the most interesting thing about spam is the Monty Python Flying Circus skit. Spam, 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 etc. And then, of course, we have spam as the name for junk email. It's spam. It's junk.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a real product from Hormel called Spam, which I assume is mostly ham-based?
It's mostly pork-based. It's mostly fat is what it is. So we got to go into the time machine back to a very long time ago. So to preserve food, you had very limited choices. One of the ways to preserve a meat was to essentially what they called potting it. And it is making it, putting it in a receptacle and covering it with a layer of fat to keep the oxygen out. Now, that doesn't last forever, just like that, but it lasts a few more days. And if you can make your food last a couple days longer, that means you're not going to starve. With the technology and the advent of canning, actual canning, you could can meat. And now we're in a place where meat has always been expensive, but if we use like kind of the inways, the outways, the throughways, the throwaways, and repurpose that and put it into a new shape, add a lot of fat and salt, it helps preserve it and it helps make it taste better, and it is spam. Now, Hormel still makes spam, but at that time from that late 1800s, to really the heyday to World War II, is every meatpacking company in the United States produced some sort of canned meat. We'll still see Vienna sausages, canned hash, ham dingers. There were even canned hamburgers. It's gone out of fashion, but it served a legitimate purpose for the time, as well as became part of a cuisine.
And there's still... I mean, Hawaii, the Philippines, spam is an essential part of their diets there.
Right, because post-World War II, so much spam got just left behind by American soldiers, and then it was distributed to the people who, again, were not in great shape because of the years and years of war. And so it was a good, solid foodstuff. You could get a lot of calories out of a piece of spam. And again, we talked about lutefisk. You grow up with it, become used to it, you actually enjoy it, and then you start incorporating it. And that's why if you're in Hawaii, you can get like spam sushi and spam on pizza. And, you know, people incorporate different types of foodstuffs all the time to make it into a brand new thing.
But how did spam become synonymous with junk email?
That I have no idea. I think that is some Silicon Valley lore story that we'll have to uncover somewhere, because I think the only logical explanation is that it's not a great healthy food. It's also really cheap. So if you were eating spam on the regular, it kind of meant that you didn't have access to a higher quality of food. So it became a shorthand for something that was very low quality.
I found an explanation, by the way, and in a sense I was right. It says here the name comes from a Monty Python sketch in which the name of the canned pork product, spam, is ubiquitous, unavoidable, and, of course, repetitive.
Okay.
So it's Monty Python's fault.
That we have junk mail? Okay, I'll blame them. Now,
well, you'll blame them for the name. They're not responsible for the mail. But I think it might be on YouTube, by the way, the spam sketch from Monty Python. It is hilarious beyond belief what they would do. They would take simple words and just make fun out of them. It was amazing of the things that happened. We can do a whole show on Monty Python, but then this is not that kind of show. We're talking about culture here, the culture of food, holy food. And we've got a lot more to talk about with Christina Ward and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. And you should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I should tell you, listeners, that usually after we record this show, Tim and I prepare for dinner. Like I said, I take the microwave and throw things in there. Tim will make something. And I always ask Tim, after we have our after-show discussion, what he's having for dinner. What's for dinner tonight, Tim?
Well, tonight, since we're getting in the evening with recording time, everybody else has eaten, so I will probably make ramen, which, I mean, there's a whole cultural thing right there in the United States with ramen.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really taken off. If you look at, again, I mentioned I'm in Wisconsin. A few years ago, there was a restaurant that served what they called Wisconsin ramen, and it had bratwurst in it.
Whoa, now that's interesting.
Exactly. And that's the American way, kids. You know, we take what we like, and we change it up, and we mix it up into something new.
It becomes hash.
It becomes American.
So what's for dinner tonight, Christina?
Dinner tonight is going to be a garden vegetable soup. I made that a couple days ago, and I'm working on in the oven. If you were in my house right now, it would smell like onions, because I'm doing a French style slow roasted onions with red wine, a little salt, garlic, and then tomorrow those slow roasted onions will become a French onion soup.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I'm an okay cook.
That sounds really good, though.
And again, it's winter here, finally winter, and so there's nothing in my mind like a hearty, like hot soup or stew, something like that, that kind of sticks to your ribs, that really feels satisfying in winter.
My wife will have chicken noodle soup from Safeway. It's really good. I don't know about other states. It's just here in Arizona. They provide, it's heated, chicken noodle soup, several other varieties. And what we do is we let it cool down, stick it in the fridge, and 3 or 4 minutes before we're ready, we throw it in the microwave and push the button. Let me ask you a question here. If we're going into cooking and everything, I understand a lot of meals, they do okay. Is there a trick to making pizza taste decent in the microwave if you don't want to use the oven?
No, there's not. But I will offer you a different solution. If you have an air fryer, you can get a really nice, warms it up and keeps it crisp if you use the air fryer. Conversely, you could also just put a dab of olive oil in a frying pan and stick it in the frying pan, put a lid on it, and that kind of gives it a little different texture but warms it up nicely and doesn't give you that really super hot, gooey, gummy, like, but still like rubbery pizza feel that if you do it in the microwave.
So, of course, when Domino's has a commercial showing that someone who buys pizza throws it in the microwave to warm it up, they're misleading you?
Well, I mean, there's nothing stopping anyone from putting it in the microwave. I'm just saying it's not an optimized taste experience.
Okay, well, where can we go from there? I don't know. Now, also preparing
scratch
food these
pizza
days.
Every night.
The way I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, there was a place, a slaughterhouse, I guess, where my mother would buy chicken. They would take the chicken, they would kill them on site, they would cut them up, prepare them for sale, and we get fresh chicken. That's fresh chicken, as fresh as you can get. Okay, they had chicken farms. Nowadays, of course, it's packaged by somebody and shipped from somewhere unknown, and who knows what they do with it.
Yeah, I think that people, if they have the opportunity and are going to eat meat, should seek out the most locally sourced meats, and that includes chickens. If you're in a larger city, that's much easier. I mean, I know exactly where the local chicken farm butchery is, and it's not that far. It's in the city. The challenge and what's happening in all these industrial farms and industrial meat packing is a spread of pathogens, and that's why we're seeing so many outbreaks of E. coli and other foodborne pathogens. And it's something that you alluded to earlier, Gene, is when money trumps the quality of the food, people suffer.
Except for those who own the company and their stockholders.
Somehow, I don't think they're buying cans of Spam. They're probably getting, you know, the highest quality, locally organic, least amount of chemical type foods. I'm nearly sure of it.
Now, if you go into the supermarket and it says organic, like I said with the bananas, how do I know? It's just a label. Anybody can print a label. How do I know that this ground beef is organic, this isn't, these bananas are organic, and these aren't?
So it really depends. If you're going to the Safeway, there aren't any controls. Anybody could probably label something. But if you're going more to a locally owned market or a co-op, quote, a health food store, there are actual regional organizations that certify organic farms. And you'd have to do a little bit research. And so it wouldn't just say organic. It would have the label or the mark of that regional organic authorizing authority. In the Midwest, it's called MOSES, M-O-S-E-S. And so if it has the MOSES sign on it, then you know that that particular item is verified from an organic farm. And that is how you would know the difference.
Well, I'll look for it, but of course you'll pay a lot more.
You will pay a lot more because so much money from corporate food and corporate farming, it's all subsidized. It's purposefully made cheap because people, they want you to buy it. And so it's a bit of a racket that way. And so real food does cost money because it costs money to grow, whether it's a meat protein or a plant protein or whatever. It costs money and it costs labor and it costs time. And I think that if we actually paid a little bit more attention to what food actually costs, we may change some of our dietary habits.
Well, of course, a lot of people go to the fast food restaurant. They go to the McDonald's, Burger King, Carl's Jr., Hardee's, whatever. What's the quality of their foods? I mean, the restaurants seem
terrible.
To be clean.
Terrible. It's poor. It's poor. Because most of that beef isn't beef, say, in a Hardee's hamburger. It's a lot of filler. I don't know the percentages off the top of my head. But that is how they're able to, you know, keep people coming and reduce their own costs so they can charge the consumer as much as they possibly can. And that is why the highly processed fast food is really not good for human beings on the long term. Again, indulgences once in a while, you're fine. But doing it a couple times a day or even just a couple times a week is not good.
So fast food means a fast way to get something cheapened for the purpose of selling it to you and adding whatever nonsense they want to add. I think we're not going to get any advertising from fast food companies after this, but then, I don't know, they're always welcome to send somebody over and say, hey, this is really good food. I also wonder why a place like a McDonald's wouldn't offer like a premium line like organic beef or something like that. Would there be a market for a fast food restaurant offering a special premium line? Or would that simply create suspicion over their normal offerings? Christina, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
USA News. news update. This Sunday, the FAA ordering inspections of the Boeing 737-9 MAX model after that scare in the air Friday when a door blows off an Alaska Airlines flight, the plane at 16,000 feet. A little boy's shirt and cell phone sucked out while passengers forced to put on the oxygen masks as the pilot lands safely.
We believe, from looking at radar data, that the door is around Barnes Road near I-217 and the Cedar Hills neighborhood.
NTSB Chair Jennifer Hamendi in a news conference with reporters. The Northeast getting its first snow of the season. Hagerstown, Maryland, parts of New Jersey, and farther north in Boston all getting snow. Millions of people in the storm's path. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The book is entitled Holy Food, How Cults, Communes, and Religious Movements Influence What We Eat in American History. Yeah, we're just talking about all sorts of things food-related. But you got the point of my question here. Would make any marketing sense for any of these fast food restaurants to provide premium food at a price or set up a separate chain for it?
I don't know if you've seen this in the news recently. McDonald's has done just that. They have set up a new branding called Cosmic. It serves a little different, quote-unquote, higher-end of food offerings, but it's still owned by McDonald's. And they're still sourcing from the very same places. The first one that opened is in Bolingbrook, Illinois. If anybody's nearby, they can go and check it out. And they're using different types of flavor profiles and teas. I was just looking it up real quick as you were talking for a moment, Gene. And so at the Cosmix, you can get a creamy avocado tomatillo sandwich, a spicy queso sandwich. And so the idea is that they're elevating, to use a terrible culinary term, the normal McDonald's setting. Because I think, as you said, Gene, is if they try to introduce organic or something different at the McDonald's, you'd actually dilute the brand. You'd, as you said, makes people suspect of the other offerings, but you dilute the power of the brand. We think of McDonald's as something very cheap and cheerful and easy. It's not somewhere we think of when we're looking to get a creamy avocado tomatillo sandwich.
Well, I'm looking at the menu here for COSMC. okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they also offer, which makes things more confusing, things from the McDonald's universe.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to work out for them. Traditionally, when you mix your brand or you dilute your brand, your food brand, it doesn't always work out for you. So we'll see. We shall see. Watch this space, right?
We're going to watch it. In terms of traditions of food, what do you think, since this is a paranormal show, are the strangest?
I'm thinking about what is the strangest. Well, lutefisk comes up to the top of my list all the time because it's a fish and you're preserving it with alkaline, not acidity. Alkaline, and humans are very susceptible to alkaline poisoning. So if you do that incorrectly, you're going to die. That is a really strange food to want to eat. And so there's other foods that fall in that line of actually dangerous. People may be familiar with like the fugu, the fish in Japan, that it has to be prepared exactly correctly because they eat it raw as a sushi. But if it is prepared incorrectly, you will be poisoned and die within, you know, very short period of time. It's a fast-acting nerve poison. So anyone who's eating something that has the potential to kill you immediately versus long-term is scary and strange in my book.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about it if you don't have much time left with your life. You can just go for it.
Well, there's a number of people who are like thrill seekers who go and eat the fugu, that poisonous fish. They do it for that adrenaline rush of like it's essentially playing Russian roulette with sushi.
I think it's the same way with lutefisk.
Yeah, yes.
At least when I tried it, it was kind of that, I'm going to eat this stuff.
And what did you think of it? Did you like it?
Not really, no. No, I'll have to be honest. And, I mean, I was with people who, I mean, grew up eating it, and they didn't expect me to enjoy it. But I wanted to try it. When it comes to food, I will try anything, you know, just so I can say that, well, I tried it.
Well,
and so lutefisk was one of them.
It's a commendable notion, and you're braver than I.
Well, and considering where you live, I'm surprised that you haven't tried it.
I have an out is I'm allergic to fish, so that has given me a pass on any Minnesotan trying to make me eat lutefisk.
Well, I'm not allergic to fish, I just don't like it.
Well, for me, probably the most bizarre food would have been jellyfish that I've tried. And it's the texture is interesting, I'll put it that way.
There is a cuisine, and I've eaten it when I was younger, and I wouldn't eat it today. Is in Wisconsin, it is a Christmas tradition around the holiday season to eat cannibal sandwiches. And cannibal
yes.
sandwiches are essentially steak tartare. It's raw meat. And you eat a schmear of raw meat with a slice of raw onion on a little piece of rye bread with a little dash of salt and pepper. And that is something in Wisconsin that is considered like a delicacy.
You know what? You eat it.
Yeah, I'm not eating it. No.
I've had that.
And Tim died 20 years ago. This is his ghost. He comes on a paranormal show, and we talk to a genuine ghost. Seriously speaking of bizarre, like chocolate-covered ants or something like that. I wouldn't do it, although my first wife did. And she's still alive.
And some of the foods, and then it becomes about culture. Because if you're in South America or on the African continent, eating insects is common. That's as common as lutefisk to Minnesotans. And so we have to break down some of these regional and cultural barriers. Now, I'm with you, Gene. I'm not interested in personally eating chocolate-covered ants. It triggers my ick factor immediately. But that is where some of the food studies and food science is going with protein, with artificial and new sources of protein, because we just know that the industrial farming of cattle specifically, and then also chicken, is really unsustainable long term. And so there's a lot of companies, big companies, experimenting with insect proteins. So it may not just be a chocolate-covered ant, but you might have a hybrid, you know, beetle burger coming to McDonald's in the next 25, 30 years.
I'm thinking, though, in terms of food replicators. We have 3D printers now that can create lots of things. They're trying to use them now to create replacement organs. So instead of getting an organ transplant from somebody, a donor, you create it, and I guess you could configure it in such a way that it will be genetically compatible with the recipient so they don't have the rejection nonsense. But that's another possibility. What about food replicators? Of course, we see that in Star Trek. You saw that in Farscape, too. How far are we away from food replicators, where we can just use a machine to create from raw materials?
It's going to be coming closer. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming because they've already successfully created lab-grown meat. So essentially using cell technology, seeded, they have been able to produce chicken and a steak. And so once you've kind of crossed the theoretical science of actually knowing and figuring out how to do it, then it's a matter of the applied science of how to scale it and make it feasible and monetize it. And that, I think, you'll see in the next 10 to 15 years in some form or fashion. Maybe not actually a Star Trek replicator, but you'll see something. Just as we have logs that can grow your own mushrooms, I could foresee a future where people who are interested will have their little meat-growing lab cabinets and will be growing their own chicken.
Okay. That sounds like fun.
But will there be religious groups who will be opposed to that, though?
There are religious groups already. If we think about, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't allow their believers to get a blood transfusion. They feel that that, again, violates the purity of the body. And so a lot of religious organizations, both mainstream and more, you know, fringe, are starting to wrestle with the ideas of, you know, gene therapies and cellular therapies, and what does this mean to our theology?
We've got more to come with Christina, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
This is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Speaking of strange things going on here with food, how do religious traditions handle this? So you can have kosher food prepared in a certain way. You can have different religious groups pass on something. What does the rabbi do with plant-based meat?
A lot of times what they do and what any of the religious leaders do is they gather together and they talk about it. And they look at the science. They look at their scripture. They look at other past theologians and respected thinkers. And what did they say when something new was introduced to the culture? And they try to use precedent to determine whether something is going to fall within acceptable food rules or outside those acceptable food rules. And this is something that happens all the time, especially in the Judaic and Islamic cultures where either kosher and halal practices are happening. They're assessing foods all the time. But when we talk about little fringe groups, I'm thinking of the Latter-day Saints with all of the rise of Starbucks and all of the kind of rooty-tooty kind of drinks that are coffee-based. The leaders at the Mormon Church had to put out bulletins reminding the young believers that coffee was indeed forbidden for Mormons and that macchiato was coffee, and they needed to stop ordering those things.
So where does this take us in the future? I mean, we were talking about lab-grown meats, and considering that there are countries that are actively forbidding, say, like genetically modified grains, is this going to be an issue of contention in the future when it comes to laboratory meats?
I think it will. Anytime that we are faced with something new, a new science, a new idea, that religion always has to deal with it, and they don't always deal with it well. People are change adverse, and we're seeing it a little bit if we think about the new age, quote unquote, new age communities that grow out of the modern yoga communities, and we're seeing them being very reactive about vaccination. I'm not talking about the modern COVID, but even things that have been proven for years, like measles, people are starting to reject that because they just don't trust the newness of the science. And so that's something you see with a lot of new religious groups. When something is challenging or threatening perceptibly to their belief system, they will reject the whole on the entirety and say, no, just give it up. We're not doing this. And then we reject everything that came before that that is associated with it.
Of course, the problem with that is that, for example, we're seeing in some of the wastewater supplies in New York some evidence of polio because people are not taking the polio vaccine for any reason.
Correct.
And that means diseases that we thought we conquered will return. And I have to say this. I remember somebody I knew very well, a brilliant writer and scholar, Yona Fortner, who had polio as a child and was crippled for the rest of his life. So this is before the polio vaccine, not long before, based on what he told me at the time. So that's unfortunate.
Right. It is unfortunate, and that is our great challenge as Americans. We can have our spiritual beliefs, and we can have our practices, but we should always be a little cautious that what our spiritual leaders are telling us is to our own best interest, just as a human community. If your spiritual leader is telling you something that could cause harm to you, your family, or your community, go ask somebody else and get a second opinion on that. Because every religious leader I've spoken to, for all of the non-cult, non-high control, more benevolent religious beliefs, will always say that God doesn't want to hurt you. And so if you're doing something or if someone's telling you to do things to your body that causes you harm, that is a good time to get a second opinion and step back and reevaluate what you're thinking and believing.
Speaking of food traditions, let's cover a few more for this remaining episode of the main show. And that is, we've covered Islam, we've covered kosher and things like that and a few others. What other food traditions would you like to alert us to?
Well, I think we were talking about fast food, and I think that not enough people realize that the McDonald's Filet-O-Fish was born out of the Catholic fish fry tradition. In Catholic culture, especially in the upper Midwest around the Great Lakes, you're not supposed to eat meat on Friday. And for whatever reason, the church fathers determined that fish is not meat, so you could eat fish on Friday. During Prohibition era, churches and bars looked to make money, and they would serve fish fries. And it became a really popular cultural thing, and it was acceptable to these large Catholic communities. You could go, you could all join in and have a great fish fry. It tasted delicious if you liked fish, and you were still adhering to those food rules. In Buffalo, New York, a McDonald's franchise owner realized how much business he was losing on Fridays because people weren't buying hamburgers on Fridays. And so he invented the Filet-O-Fish sandwich. McDonald's corporate was against it, but they allowed him to test it out. And of course, as you can imagine, it went on like gangbusters. People loved it, and it got adopted nationwide. So that's why McDonald's serves the Filet-O-Fish sandwich, because a bunch of Catholics in Buffalo, New York, were not buying McDonald's hamburgers.
I just wonder if those Catholics from Buffalo, New York, received a check from McDonald's.
I doubt it, but they should thank themselves as being a part of the movement that started fish patty sandwiches and popularizing that.
Well, I wonder about trends. What about fried chicken sandwiches? You think fried food? Oh, my God. But those things are incredibly popular.
Foods go through trends and popularity, and frying chicken in that matter, breading it and frying it as a piece of either thigh or breast meat, comes from a southern tradition of frying foods, adds a lot of flavor, makes it palatable to usually cheaper cuts of meat. And that's why people fry meats. And so if something tastes delicious, it doesn't matter many times what the spiritual belief is or the religious inspiration for it. People just want to eat it.
It doesn't matter if you're clogging your arteries.
Yeah, it's hard to resist something very delicious. I personally love candy and chocolate, and, you know, I probably shouldn't eat as much chocolate as I do, but it's, again, hard to resist.
I'm limiting that consumption now to the protein bar, but the protein bar I've tried lately doesn't even have any chocolate in it that I can tell. There's also protein pastries. that I discovered from one company. So that's pretty good. I've been trying those out. So we'll see. If I'm still here next week, we'll know that all the experimentation I've done with food didn't make a difference. Or maybe I'm just lucky.
Watch those sugar alcohols.
Okay, I will. Christina Ward, this has been fun to explore, and we'll try to get into more detail with the After the Paracast podcast. But in the meantime, for those who want to know more about the things you do, where can they check you out?
My website is ChristinaWard.net. I also run Feral House Publishing, and so you can look at feralhouse.com for my book, as well as hundreds and hundreds of other books on outsider fringe topics, and that's probably the best place to find out more about Holy Food and about other books that we publish.
Okay. Now, you can find us on X, formerly Twitter or whatever they'll call it next week, on Threads, which is Facebook's imitation of X, and on Facebook, look for the Paracast, and you'll find us. You know, we just post show announcements, really. We have most of our discussions on the Paracast forums. We also offer branded merchandise at theparacast.store or theparacast.shop. You have four logos to choose from, and say you can buy a T-shirt in the various colors, and then the different logos, and we'll be happy for those orders. We also offer a streaming service called the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. What you get is this show without any of the network ads, with higher quality audio, and then we give you the exclusive bonus After the Paracast podcast, where we continue discussions or do something altogether new. You never, ever know what's going to happen next. For more information and a quick way to sign up, go to theparacast.plus. Theparacast.plus. Christina Ward, author of Holy Food, it's been a gas. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Oh, I had a great time. Thanks for having me. Thanks for such great and interesting questions.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now. to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.